Clarence Thomas sees himself as a prophet. You know who Clarence Thomas is, the black man just named to be the new Associate Justice on our Supreme Court. I wonder if he sees himself as a prophet. We, the Christians, Catholics, know that he and we have a great deal in common. Many of us were, like Clarence Thomas, taught and to some extent molded by the nuns, as he put it. We were baptized into the same church. We were taught the same basic doctrine. Father Kelly distracted me this morning. He said he read somewhere, now he goes to the Episcopal Church. I hadn't come across that, but as far as I'm concerned, he's still a Catholic, whether he likes it or not. That isn't something you can just shake off or toss away. But I wonder if he sees himself as a prophet. And to get you to wonder at that with me, I might say, I wonder if you see yourself as a prophet. Do you? Maybe. Sometimes. Do you see yourself as a prophet, Helen? You do. That was a firm answer. Georgiana, are you a prophet? Are you a prophet? Don't know? Good. Because then maybe I have something to share with you, and you'll have a firm answer to that question before we're through. Clarence, I know you're a prophet, whether you know it or not. You are a prophet in our midst. And you are a prophet, and you are a prophet, and you are a prophet. You are a prophet. We all are prophets, but maybe we don't know it. Or maybe we know it in some vague way, but we don't understand it. Are you baptized? Are you a prophet? Good. When we get through, you'll know the answer. You are a prophet. You're a prophet. We all are prophets. If we are baptized, we are prophets in Jesus Christ. And all the more so if we are baptized and confirmed in Jesus Christ, anointed like Jesus, into his prophetic ministry. Christ, by the way, is not the middle name of Jesus. Christ is a descriptive word. It means the anointed one, Christos. And you call yourself Christian, and rightly so, which is to say you are one of the anointed in and with Jesus. And so every time you say or think, I am a Christian, you are saying, I am anointed. And therefore, whether you know it or not, you are saying, I am prophet. I am called to be prophetic. In preparing for the homily, I went to look in a good scholarly book to make sure what I said was authentic and accurate. So I read the section in the New Dictionary of Theology on prophecy. And I smiled when I got there because the marvelous, very clear, lucid passage which explains it all was written by a now celebrated woman, theologian, Diana Bergant. It seems like only yesterday that the church began to recognize that, yes, the women of the community are equally prophets among us. And sometimes it will be the prophetic women who speak the truth more clearly and directly. But in a certain sense, I'm getting ahead of myself. What is a prophet? Well, bear with me if I read just a little bit so I say it well, because it's so important for us to understand it. Here's the scholarly presentation. I picked out some of the most helpful and hopeful passages. The Hebrew word for prophet can have both a passive and an active meaning. It means, on the one hand, one who has been called, and it means, on the other hand, one who calls. Prophecy, which is to say, the holy work of the prophet, must be intelligent and relevant if it is to be received within the world of human beings. And the scholars then looked to understand more deeply this central, essential part of God's revelation and the history of God's holy people from Moses on. And what is said here agrees with what all the scholars have discovered. Some prophets functioned at the very heart of the society as significant members of the political or religious establishment, while others belonged to marginal groups and addressed the social scene from a less privileged position. Their prophetic messages might call for radical social change. I think that's the sense of prophet that we recognize most immediately. Or the prophetic message might be a call for change that is more moderate and gradual. A prophet might stress a return to traditional values and mores. A prophet might even, in a certain set of historic circumstances, call for a steadfast adherence to the status quo. But the word of prophecy is always a response to a specific, real, immediate situation. And prophecy, if it's real, if it's authentic, is always the word of God, which comes at God's discretion. It cannot be forced. It must not be distorted, or the prophet becomes false prophet. And the primary intent of prophecy is to call the people to fidelity to their religious responsibilities right here and right now. I wonder if Clarence Thomas sees himself as a prophet. I know he is, but I'm not sure he knows it. And in the measure he does or doesn't know it, the effectiveness of his prophetic ministry as a Christian in this contemporary world will be more or less an echo, an image, a continuing of the prophetic message of Jesus, who is the fulfillment of all prophecy, the focal point and the purpose of all prophets. I was wondering if George Bush, fellow Christian, saw himself as a prophet when he assured us the other day that Clarence Thomas's color has absolutely nothing to do with his choice as a Supreme Court justice. I wonder if the president thought that God's authentic truth was being spoken by him to the people in a crucial and critical time when he said that. And I wondered if Clarence himself had a sense of prophetic ministry and mission when he told all of us in this society that with enough grit and determination we can all solve our own problems. If he believes it, if he's convinced of it, he might well feel called to proclaim that message with all the force and vigor he can. But as the scholars tell us, prophecy is a tricky business. It's so hard to sort out what you've decided works, what you've decided just makes common sense, from what might be your bias, your prejudice, your personal experience blocking your openness to new insights, new possibilities, and even perhaps contradictions of the past as you have known it. They had a big funeral in Washington yesterday for a man who clearly and unquestionably saw himself as a prophet. Bishop Smallwood Williams, who gave his first homily, if you will, right near Union Station, as one of the news accounts tells it, taking the nearest fire hydrant as his pulpit. And he began many years ago to tell people what he understood to be the meaning of Jesus, the presence and purpose of this Savior prophet who had come among us. And with dramatic effectiveness, he called hundreds, even hundreds of thousands of people to take another look at reality and to make commitments to the gospel because of his prophetic vision and his determination to be a prophet in his own time. It might sound exciting to some people to say, well, me? I'm a prophet? Gee, I thought only the priests and nuns were prophets. You mean all of us who are baptized and confirmed? Wow, that's pretty exciting. That makes me pretty important. But anybody who pauses then to look and reflect and understand more deeply the destiny of the prophet might say, thank you, but no thank you. See you later. Count me out. Let me be excused. And as we've noted together in the past, those who are regular members of this prophetic community, one of our favorite excuses for running from the call to be prophetic is a kind of replay of that prayer at each Eucharistic communion, oh Lord, I am not worthy. But all our excuses are shattered and fall to pieces at our feet in the light of Paul's words in today's second reading. God gave me a sting of the flesh. Never let me escape the realization of my own human weakness. It was driving me crazy. I was unable to be an effective, full-time, committed prophet because of my own temptations and my own human stupidity and sinfulness until finally I realized, oh my God, my God becomes more effective in part because of my sins and human weakness. What a God. Paul said it. He took away the excuse for all those baptized into the prophetic ministry of Jesus for all the ages. Your sins do not excuse you. Your slowness of speech, your lack of education comparable to that of some neighbor, your lack of sophistication, your failure to be up on current events, whatever your excuse, it's no excuse at all. Paul wiped them all away in that scripture reading. You're a prophet. You are called to be prophet. You are anointed to be prophet, and prophet you will be at the risk of your soul. You must, if you are the baptized and confirmed, be prophetic in the name of Jesus. And how would any prophet expect this exciting but at once intimidating ministry and call to be fun and frolic when Jesus, the summation of all prophecy, was himself rejected even as he prophesied? Jesus told us all, you may as well notice, sisters and brothers, prophets down through the ages, you may as well begin to accept it as part of reality. Prophets are not appreciated in their own hometowns. Funny thing is that prophets tend to get good notices, whether early or late, and to be properly acclaimed, but often, very often, only after they're gone, and at best, in places where they are strangers. Prophets are not usually all that well received at home. What a ministry. What a burden. What a challenge to be prophets with Jesus, in Jesus, through Jesus, and for Jesus. But for the baptized and confirmed Christians, there's no escaping it. Only the ongoing struggle to be prophetic in the midst of your sins, to renew your call and commitment to prophesy, even as you know that you can yourself become an obstacle in the way. People, I think, tend generally to just take it as a given that the priests who preach and their fellow ministers of other persuasions are somehow or other prophets. And yet, I do believe that if one studied it, one would find that while in one parish, say Queen of Peace, just for example, they seem never to get away from Matthew 25, with its very succinct declaration that all will be judged at the end on how they treated each other, how responsive they were to their neighbors' needs and agonies. There are pulpits from which priests and ministers prophesy where Matthew 25 hasn't been mentioned in years. There are priests and other preachers who are constantly like the angry prophets of the Old Testament, scolding and shaking their fingers in the faces of the people, calling them back to fidelity to the rules and regulations, to all the do's and do nots, and rarely, if ever, call them to put love and service of neighbor even above religious observances. Many a congregation would be scandalized if their local recognized prophet ever came so close to heresy as to say, it could be more prophetic and more Christ-like to be somewhere else while the community gathers on Sunday, if in fact there's a fellow human being in great need, in urgent need of your immediate attention. What a novel notion. And yet, a study of Jesus would make it so clear that our greatest act of worship of God, and most difficult, is in the loving service to one another in all our needs. Jesus was rejected as a prophet. Paul spoke for us all when he said, none of us are worthy to be prophets. We keep getting in the way of our prophetic ministry. But the church has always taught. And today, thanks be to God, since the fresh coming of the Holy Spirit in the Second Vatican Council, the church is teaching more clearly, more concretely, more specifically and immediately, that all the baptized are sharers in the prophetic ministry of Jesus, that every single Christian is called to name sin, sin, to call everyone else with all of his or her power, to loving service to one another, and most of all, to those in greatest need. The events of these recent days, the things that are being said about what it means to be a Catholic, what it means to be a Christian in the light of decisions of our Supreme Court that affect our whole society and will affect it for perhaps even generations to come. All of these things make clear what should have been clear to us all in the first place. Prophesying truly and accurately was never easy, and maybe in some respects it's more difficult today than ever. In part because of the sophistication and the complexity of our society. At the same time, we reach a historic moment when some kind of communion of all the tribes and families and nations of people could conceivably be sharing one message, celebrating one vision, prophetic ministry. It's a difficult, difficult thing to do. No guarantee that one's prophecy will be well received, almost the contrary. And further, and this is painful, no absolute guarantee that even when in our greatest sincerity we try to prophesy truly and effectively, that we'll get all the facts straight. or that we will be right on target, you might say, with Jesus. Like Paul, we keep getting mixed up and befuddled by our sins and our human weakness, but we mustn't give up. We mustn't let go. We must each day purge ourselves to be prophets who are authentic. To tell it as it is, as God gives us the light to see it as it is. And trust in God that if our hearts are sincere, the deviations, the mistakes, the inaccuracies of our personal prophetic message will be of no major account, that God will make good for our inevitable human failings and weaknesses. He asks not that we be perfect, but he demands that we be prophetic. He demands that we tell the truth at our moment in time, that we say it clearly, that we say it loudly, that we say it, well, not exactly welcoming, but accepting. Accepting the inevitability of the unwelcome, which has always been afforded to the prophets. I said at the beginning, I wonder if Clarence Thomas sees himself as a prophet. I hope that it is clear to us, not only is he a prophet, but so is our president. So is every one of those people given the opportunity to speak and to be heard. The issue, the challenge, is to see that what we say and to be determined that what we do is an authentic expression of the vision of Jesus. To revert again to the scholars, the ultimate revelation was believed from the earliest days of the church to have come in the person and teachings of Jesus. It served to establish a firm Christian identity so that the challenges of a changing world might be met with a steadfast commitment to the essence of the religious tradition, which is Jesus. Moved by divine inspiration, we are, even if we don't know it, prophets point to a future where their hopes would be fulfilled despite the obstacles that human infidelity place in the path of that fulfillment. Prophecy in the Christian tradition must be seen from this perspective. Whatever we say about how our society functions, we must always be trying to bring to our personal lives, to our own community, to our politics, to our national life, to our relationship with all the other peoples and nations of the world, an authentic echo and expression of the message of Jesus. Whether Clarence Thomas is voted up or down for the Supreme Court, whether most of us agree with him and celebrate his nomination, or most of the people are against it, is really, in a very true sense, of almost no consequence whatsoever. But what is earth-shaking in its consequences is whether or not Clarence and you and I recognize the responsibility to speak not just out of personal experience, but challenging personal experience and personal giftedness in the light of that contradictory message of Jesus, which made him unwelcome in his own hometown. And finally, I would say we might put it this way. The point of the homily this morning, which I hope is the point of today's liturgy and the movement of the Holy Spirit, is to get you and to get me to make personal, each of us to ourselves and all of us together as a community, to make personal the words in the first reading from Ezekiel, to say in our hearts, right now. But Ezekiel says, hear it, fellow prophets. Spirit entered into me and got me on my feet. I hear the one speaking say to me, I send you to the people. People who have rebelled against me. They and their mothers and fathers have revolted against me to this very day. Hard of face and obstinate of heart. Are they to whom I am sending you? But you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God. And whether they heed or resist, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that a prophet has been among them.